As people are living longer and baby boomers are aging, the need for home health aides is growing. More people are working in the profession, helping others in their everyday lives.
But it's an undervalued, undertrained profession, according to Paul Osterman, author of the new book, Who'll Care for Us? Long-Term Care and the Long-Term Workforce, and professor at the MIT Sloan School of Management. The show's Lauren Gilger spoke with him more about this.
Osterman says while the majority of long-term at-home care is provided by unpaid family members, that's a really stressful position for them, and their numbers will also decline because of changing demographic profiles. So we're going to need many more long-term healthcare workers at home in the future. But they're paid so little, he says, they'd make more working in retail or a fast food restaurant, so it's going to be difficult to attract those people to the profession. So Osterman argues as we look to the future, we will have to rethink this entire industry.
It's extraordinarily tough work. Anyone who has a loved one at home who needs support knows how tough it is. The nature of the work can range from relatively light, helping people get ready in the morning to go to work or to get through their day, to extremely heavy, helping people with eating, bathing, dressing, toileting, lifting, and so on. But you're alone in a home with somebody, and you have a huge responsibility. It's very stressful. The quality of the loved one's life is more dependent on the home health aide than it is on anybody else, doctors or nurses. And the home health aide is just crucial. Yet we're paying these folks, as I said, $10 an hour and providing minimal training.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about training. It sounds like what you're saying is that this is an industry that needs to be professionalized.
Yeah, absolutely right. It needs to be professionalized. But to make it work, to improve it, what we need to do is to expand the scope of practice of these aides, enable them to do more, and then provide the training that prepares them for that. Right now, they're substantially limited by state regulation in what they can do, and as a result, there's no incentive by payers, and by payers, I mean insurance companies or Medicaid, state Medicaid agencies or Medicare agencies. They don't have an incentive to train these folks more or to pay them more because they're not allowed to do more. So we need to fundamentally restructure the nature of the industry in order to improve the jobs. That will actually save money because it will improve chronic care treatments, it will improve transitions out of hospitals, it will reduce emergency room visits, reduce transitions into nursing homes. And so it's in everybody's interest to do that if we could just get our act together.
I want to talk a little bit about how we could get that kind of training in place. Like, what would be the first step as a society we would need to take to try to change this industry?
The first step is actually just to change our mindset, to stop thinking of these as basically unskilled women who can't do anything, and to recognize, for example, that about half of home care aides have some college education, that most home care aides are really committed and really want to do a good job. The second change is to think about the regulatory structure that limits what they can do. And then the third step is to convince the payers, the Medicaid agencies and insurance companies, that it's in their interest to push for these changes. And they have the power to do it if they want to.
Yeah. I wonder, I'm sure when you wrote this book, you talked to a lot of people who do this job. And it sounds like it's such a hard job. It's so low paying. Are they at this point just doing this out of the goodness of their hearts because they know it's an important thing to do?
I did talk to a lot of them, a lot of aides. Overwhelmingly, they're committed to their clients. They're committed to doing a good job. They enter it for a variety of reasons. Some do it because they can't find any other work. Some do it because they come from religious or cultural backgrounds where caregiving is really an important feature of the culture and they want to do that. Some do it because they mistakenly think that it's an entry point into a healthcare career. Mm-hmm. The way this occupation is structured now, it isn't. It's dead end. But it could be with more training and with career ladders.
I wonder why, what made you want to look into this? Was this something you experienced personally?
Well, I have. Almost everybody has experienced a family member who needs help. But I was also interested in the fact that a broader challenge we have in this country is the prevalence of low-wage jobs, too many low-wage jobs. About 25% of adults work in poverty-level jobs. And low-paid healthcare occupations are a big piece of that picture, and I wanted to think about how to improve that.
Paul Osterman, the book is Who Will Care for Us? Long-Term Care and the Long-Term Workforce. Paul, thanks so much for joining us to talk about this.
That was my pleasure. Thank you.